I've had several questions throughout the last few months, and I'm going to recap something real quick. Words I'm writing on the board is simply this: where do I start? If I want to be in the Spirit, if I want to walk in the Spirit, if I want to live for God, if I want my life to be about God and about the things of Christ, where do I start? And I began to teach. Number one, I taught, be perfect. The second thing I taught, seek the Lord. The third thing I taught was be obedient. And the fourth thing I taught last Sunday was be fervent. That's a squeaky marker. Now, this may sound like an interesting list if I ask the question, where do I start? The question may arise, how am I supposed to be perfect? Or how am I supposed to walk before the Lord pure and holy when I don't even know how to do that? So the commandments are given to us, and I want to ask you this question. Who does this list right here, who does it speak of? Jesus. So if this list represents Jesus, where do I start? To be like Jesus. Wouldn't that be where to start? So if my starting point is always to be like Jesus, then everything that falls under this question, be perfect. Is Jesus perfect? Is he holy? Does Jesus seek the Lord? Did he seek the Lord? Yes, he did, with all of his heart. Was he obedient? Yes, he was. Was he fervent like no other? And these are the things, when I began to set this up, I want to tell you a little story, which I don't normally do. When I began to talk to people and I began to realize that in the thoughts of people, there's always this question, what do I do? How do I do it? Where do I start? Things like that. I made a trip to Louisiana, Micah and I, and to see James and Vicky. And when we were down there, we were hanging out and having a great time. Some other couples we had time to fellowship with and hang out with and talk to. Great couples. Matter of fact, one of them is Brady and Amy, which are online every week from Louisiana with us. When they began to ask this same question to me as well, and I had already heard it, and I said, okay, I'm going to pray about this. I'm going to pray about this, and I'm going to seek the Lord myself. And I know that we teach a lot of things around here that are, in my opinion, are very powerful. God has blessed us with a lot of revelation, a lot of truth. I appreciate that with all my heart before the Lord. But to answer this question, I sought the Lord, and the Lord talked to me. And I began to focus my attention on something, but here's what the Lord told me. It was very interesting to me. He took me all the way back to when I began to pastor the church years ago, and he began to talk to me and remind me very specifically about what he told me when I began to pastor the church. You know what it was? Sanctify the Lord. He said, sanctify me. Back then, there was a lot of things that needed to take place. Number one, healing and truth and conversions of the heart and many things that God needed to do. None of us was going to fix anything in our life without sanctifying the Lord. None of us. And if we don't sanctify the Lord and put him first, and glorify him above ourselves, do you think we will ever fulfill all the truth of God in our life? We will not do it, will we? And as I sought the Lord, and the Lord began to talk to me and show me these things, I've called my people to be perfect before me. You tell them, be perfect. And do not let the excuse come forward. Well, I don't know how. You know why? Because when God tells you to be perfect, what should you then do? Should you not seek the Lord? Should you not seek the Lord on how to be perfect? Should you not seek the Lord? And in your seeking, we talked about it. Keith, you'll find, won't you? If God tells you to be perfect, He intends to give you the answer on how to accomplish that. He doesn't just throw you into something and then expect you to find your own way. God said, I will be there. I will never leave you. I will not forsake you. I will guide you. I will give you every word you need to live for God. That's pretty exciting. Then He said, tell them to be obedient to what they find. Be obedient. The only way to be obedient in what you find is you got to have some fervency in there too. Now here's the thing. The Lord is very specific about His Word of God. And there are some things that have to be accomplished in you. And God is very specific. He's not general in any way or fashion. God is very specific. If you are going to be like Jesus, you're going to have to learn these things in your life, and you're going to have to apply them. Today, I want to talk to you about something else that is very specific as well. Do you know that you have to discern your heart? Do you know that, Brad? You've got to discern your heart. You know why? Because in your heart are thoughts and intentions that you may not be aware of. In other words, you may have thoughts to serve the Lord, but your intentions might be off from the thought. And if the intention is wrong, then what might you do? You might go after something you think is the right way to do it, but your intent could be wrong, which would definitely bring and spoil everything that you're trying to accomplish. So God brings His Word to you, and you need to discern your heart with what God gives you. Now, this is interesting. Let's talk about this for a moment. Hebrews chapter 4, very familiar verse, verse 12, and we're going to read this verse. There's some great things already being spoken about here, about entering into the rest of God, entering into the Spirit of God by doing the great works of God. But notice verse 12, for the Word of God is quick. What does that mean? It's living. It's alive. The Word of God is alive. Whew, isn't that what they told him, Micah? Isn't that what the angel said when they looked for Jesus at the grave? What'd they say? Why seek the living among the dead? God is alive. Jesus is alive. His Word is alive. And it's powerful. It's powerful. Sharper than any two-edged sword. Now, here's the thing about discerning your own heart. Discerning is judgment, Tim. It's judgment. Discerning means that something has to be divided. So in your life, how would you not like to know the difference between good and evil? You do want to know the difference. And the reason why that is because if you're serving the Lord, you want to know what the bad is and what the good is. So if God is going to help you discern your heart, then you've got to have the right intentions about what you're doing, right? It pierces or divides, even to the dividing asunder or separation of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Let me write this on the board real quick. Thoughts, and then I'll write intentions. Same thing as intent, is your intentions. What do you need to reveal your heart to you? You need the Word of God, don't you, Keith? You need the Word of God. Oh, here's the thing. Has God graciously given us everything we need? Man, we talked about last week, if you're fervent and seeking after God with all your heart, God will give you the desires of your heart. And this is important. This is not like saying, whatever I want, I get. Because God says that in the scripture. He will give you the desires of your heart if you ask him. But here's the thing. God has to discern the heart for you. If he don't discern it, do you think he's going to give you desires that are wicked? Or will he give you desires that are of God? If the heart is discerned or judged, that means that it'll be clean, Brad. Therefore, if the heart is clean, will God answer every prayer? Because the prayer will be clean. The heart will be clean. Now, how are you supposed to live for God in your life with an unclean heart? You can't. You can't. This is why prayers do not get answered. This is why struggles take place in the heart. Either we're asking amiss because our intention's not right, our heart is not right after God, or we're going about it, doing it in the wrong intent, going after things we shouldn't be going after. And God wants to heal that and fix that in us, and it has to be judged. Let's read the next verse. I think it says, let's just read it. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Who would that be? Who sees everything? I started this a month ago by reading a scripture that talks about the eyes of the Lord. You remember that scripture? What do the eyes of the Lord do? They go to and fro throughout the whole earth, looking for the heart that is perfect after God. That's what the eyes of the Lord are doing. They're looking for the perfect heart. Now imagine if the heart has never been judged. What if your thoughts and intentions were never divided? What if your thoughts were just, I think it and I do it, and that's the way it is? What if, okay, let me give you an example here. You're here today at church. I could ask you, why did you come? And you could say, because I wanted to hear a word of God, or I love the Lord, or those types of things, right? And that could be true, but maybe it's not true. How would you know if your answer is true or if your thought is true? How do you know that your thought to come to church was clean and it was after the Lord today? If God don't divide it and show you your intentions. Let me give you the example, finish the example. I have talked to people that were full of fear of being left out. And so everything they did for God was to live for God because of fear. Is that clean? So in the mind you say, I love God, I'm going after God, I'm doing the right things. In your thoughts you're thinking, I'm doing it right. But your intentions were full of fear. That's what God is after. God don't want you to live in fear. God doesn't want you to fear hell. God doesn't want you to fear evil. God doesn't want you to fear failure and frustration and lies and torments. God doesn't want you to fear that. God would not want you to live for him full of all of that fear. Fear would drive you, so it's unclean. That fear, that same fear that would sit in your heart is the same fear that actually would destroy you. And it masks itself by saying in your thought, I love God. I'm doing this for God. Anybody ever dealt with that? Has anybody ever had that discerned in them? And if you have, you are a blessed one. Because God wants to discern the heart that's working in us today. And if he does, then we're blessed. We are blessed. Blessed. Look at this word here in verse 13. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest. What does manifest mean? Revealed, discerned, to make known, to show. Does God want to show you your heart? He does, doesn't he? Why? Because you're wanting to be like Jesus. Now imagine, have you ever started something and realized that's not really what you wanted? Anybody ever done that? You know? When you're younger, you do it all the time. I want to be this or I want to be that. And you start going after it and you realize that's not what I want to do. Okay? We can say with our mouth so many things in our world. We do this stuff all the time. We say it, but our heart, as the Word of God says, is far from loving God. So what is God after? He's after to help you discern that part of you. Is anybody in here human? Anybody? You human, Michelle? Do you have the nature of man in you? Man and woman, the nature of flesh, the nature of earth. You do, don't you? Therefore, what do you think God's going to have to remove out of the way? Doesn't mean you won't exactly be able to live in this earth. It just means the nature of thought and intention will be changed. And you'll be able to live your life with good intentions, clean intentions to serve the Lord with all your heart. Man, that is awesome. Because that's where you really, really can be obedient. That's where you can seek the Lord. That's where you can be perfect. Perfection before God has to come with a clean heart. It does. And if your heart's not discerned, then how can your heart truly be clean? God commands you to be perfect so that you can find out, number one, that you're not. That you're not. Hey, what is that verse, Ecclesiastes 3, is it 18? I said in my heart concerning the estate of the sons of men, that God might manifest them, that they might see that they themselves are beasts. What do you think happens when God manifests your heart? Is it possible, if God manifests your heart, is it possible that you might actually see that you have thoughts that do not love God? That's what God wants. That's what God wants. And here's the thing you can't be afraid of. I'm too scared to find out. I'm too scared to find out. If you're too scared to find out, what are you going to do? Yeah, you're going to hide from God. Is it possible that you could go into fear and run away from it? I've had people say, I don't want to meet today because I'm afraid of what I'm going to hear. I'm afraid of that. Tells you right there, you are thinking the wrong thing, man. You're afraid of the truth of God. God wants to eliminate all of that fear. God wants to eliminate it. He wants to put a heart in you that is clean and righteous so that when you think a thought, your intention lines up with it. Your intention is not different than what your thought is. Because the Word of God, if you want to be like Jesus, Jesus is the Word. So if the Word of God speaks to the heart, the first thing it's going to do is divide it. Then it's going to show you what's there and what's not there. There's something about praying. This is, honest to goodness, can happen, okay? How would you like to have every prayer answered? Did Jesus? Jesus prayed before the Lord and he said, I know you hear every word I say. Always, always, always. You hear every word I say. You answer every prayer I pray. Always. Now, in our life, what's the percentage? Man, I pray all the time. Listen, I'm talking about getting you to a place where you could pray and every prayer is answered. Not just hit and miss. I know God answers a lot of prayers, man. God does. The Word of God is powerful. He answers a lot. But what if you could make the next place in God, if you call it that, and enter into a place where God talks to you continually and answers those prayers, and your prayers are faithful before God? That's going to need a thoughts and intentions discerned. God's going to have to come in and divide that and teach it to you. So is it important that you need to discern your heart? You do. You do. Your heart needs to be discerned. And God's Word does that. God's Word does that. That's the power of God's Word. If you remove God's Word, we have no judgment. We have no discernment. And that's the life power of God that He has put in our heart, is to raise up Christ in us so that we can walk in the Spirit of God and be blessed and ministered to and receive life and be raised up in the joy of the Lord. That's exciting, man. When we focus on these things and allow God to do this, every one of these things, the reason why I begin to teach where do I start in different parts, because if I would have just said Jesus, where do I start? Jesus. How many of you already know that? Does everybody already know that? Yeah, you already know it, don't you? Yeah, that's exactly what I'm after. You, in your mind, you say, I know. Tell me something else. That's what you're at. Tell me something else. So the Lord, he's faithful. He'll tell you everything to do that Jesus actually is. Jesus makes up all of this plus a whole lot more. So when you're talking about perfection, you're talking about Jesus. And obedience is Jesus. Therefore, his example for us is so clean. So where do I start? Jesus. Get to know Jesus. Did Jesus have any sin in him? Any sin? Yet he was in a earthly body. Isn't the earthly body corruptible? Doesn't the earthly body die? So how could he not have sin? He is perfect. So let me show you how this works. You know why he had no sin? His thoughts and intentions were pure before God. Discerned it all. He discerned every lie that was in the flesh. He could discern it. He could judge it. Therefore, it had no power over him. See, in our life sometimes, we fall prey to the captivity of the mind, of the pressure sometimes that works in us to serve God. So we judge ourselves, I'm falling short, I'm falling short, I'm falling short. We judge ourselves by what we think we're doing in the flesh, and do we sin by doing it? We do. You know why? Because we didn't discern the thought and intentions. Once you say you are of the flesh and corruptible, Jesus, did he ever agree with that? Jesus was a spiritual being. In his thought, he knew who he was in God, is what I'm saying.
That's why you can tell Pilate, my
kingdom's not of this world. Therefore, can you, if you are after to be like Jesus, can you be spiritual in your thoughts and in your heart and not let flesh corrupt you? You have to be, because that's who God's called you to be. But in order to be that, do you got to have your thoughts and intentions right? You do. That's cool. Imagine you always walking around thinking, I'm of the flesh. I'm not pleasing God. I'm not perfect before the Lord. And I told you already, there's levels to perfection. The true perfection, Gary mentioned Wednesday night, I think it was, in your teaching, you talked about the perfection that is Jesus Christ. I mean, that's where we should be. But as you're growing in the Lord, your perfection means this. Are you doing what God's told you to do? If you are, can you walk perfect before the Lord, even though sin is still present, hidden in the heart? Yeah. Isn't that what Job did? Right? That's what Job did. He walked before the Lord perfect, even though he still had trouble with hidden things, hidden thoughts. He didn't know his own intentions, and yet, so the Lord came and went after those thoughts and intentions and discerned it for him and cleaned it up. Oh, yeah. That is awesome. Tim, you're jumping out of your seat, aren't you?
I was thinking of Job the whole time. I was just, that story's awesome. Yeah, he built up, the Lord says that I tear down and I build up. I wound and I heal. And he used Satan to do all that to Job because he was a perfect man.
Right on. And to that point, if trouble comes and we go, the devil's after me, everybody thinks you're doing bad. Right? But Satan was always a tool used by God. Satan was a ministry used by God to perfect the saints of God. Now, how did the cross up get in your mind that the devil's after me? And I must be doing something wrong. If the Lord reveals lies in you, then it's time to deal with those lies and let God purge the heart. That should be a time of celebration. Because let's face it, testing, that word manifest in the other, in Hebrews and here, it's going to mean testing. So if God manifests you, he is testing you, proving you, and raising up the word of God in you. That's exciting, man. See, this kind of thought, though, to have your heart discerned, this is for those that really do want to love the Lord. Because I'm going to tell you, when you start having your heart discerned, you start finding out that you thought you wanted something, that's where you really get tested. You do, and that's awesome, man. That's where we all want to be. Because when tribulation comes in your mind, do you have to be strong enough to overcome it? All the churches of the book of Revelation, the seven churches, what do they end with? He that overcomes. He that overcomes. What does that tell you, Tim? There is a reward. But if you have to overcome, that means something's going to be revealed in you. And you're going to have to deal with it. You're going to have to overcome something. Yes. Right on.
Right there is where he's doing it.
If he's not manifesting you, how do you know you'll love the Lord when everything comes against you? How do you know that? You could say it. I'll love the Lord till I die. I've watched people say that and the next whole week be falling apart in their mind, can't handle anything. And God wants to remove all of that, man. He wants to put a stability in you that when you say, I love the Lord, you will stand up, and no matter what comes your way, you will love the Lord. You'll be faithful. You'll be obedient. How do you know you'll be obedient unless disobedience has got to come? You got to know. This journey of serving the Lord is so pure. The reward is off the charts, man. But you don't get the reward that God talks about without being proven. What celebration is there in overcoming if there's no overcoming? There's no celebration. There's no reward. Reward is for the overcoming. Therefore, God has to say, I'm about to show you, put you in this place. Because you could ask the question, why am I here? To what purpose was I born in this life? Because you're going to learn how to overcome. And it's so powerful. So powerful. Everything in our life, God wants to make us and teach us that it's about the Lord. And that's possible. That's possible. I'm not preaching a crazy gospel here. I'm preaching one that will actually put you in thoughts of eternity in heaven and bring such peace and joy into your heart, because a person that can't be shaken, a person that's strong in the Lord that can't be shaken, would be a Christ, wouldn't he? I'm not saying physically you'll be calling yourself Jesus Christ. I'm saying the thought in you will be Jesus Christ. It'll be the overcomer in you, the believer, the saint of God, man. You'll be in your heart and in your thoughts and intentions. You will do the will of God and you'll know who you are. But you can't know until God divides it. So if he's in a place and got you in a place where he has to divide your heart for you, hang on. Do not be discouraged, because if God's dividing your heart for you and showing you there's things there that I'm not sure about, I didn't know I thought this way, I thought I loved God more than this, or you're questioning all these things, man, I'm telling you, we have been through that path, and it's good for you. It's good for you. And therefore, these things that I've wrote on the board, I'm going to start doing them. I'm speaking in general here. For all of us, right? Because I think all of us that are here and those that aren't made covenants. We made covenants. We made agreements. We committed to one another that we would be perfect together, that we would seek the Lord together, that we'd be obedient together, and that we would be fervent together. Didn't we make that agreement? The covenant is always to the Lord. But Brad, isn't it beneficial to you and I if you and I make that covenant? You know why? How many of you have ever felt alone? You ever felt alone? You know what the good thing about being a saint of God is? Every saint of God, every believer of God should go the same path. Does that make sense? Like, this life causes differences, but the testimony that's in our hearts should all be the same. In other words, will you have to deal with sin? Yes. Will you have to overcome it? Yes. Will you have to learn to trust in God? Yes. Will you have to learn to be faithful? Yes. Will you have to learn to be perfect? Yes. Will you have to be obedient? Yes. All of us are going to have to learn these things. The variety of it may be a little different, but the consistency of all of us together is exactly the same. That's why, Tim, if I have learned how to be obedient to the Lord and I make a covenant with you, and you haven't learned it yet, but you're going to learn it, would that be a good thing between you and I? You know why? Because we've got some experience between us now. We've got some consistency between us that we're going to join together in agreement. And our whole life should be about agreement with the things of God. Are you with me today? What do you think I'm going to say next? I got to write it on the board. What are we going to make a covenant for today? Number 5 on the list. I will. That's not a bad thing, by the way. If you're thinking of Isaiah 14. Discern my heart. More like Joshua, you said. As for me and my house, I will serve the Lord. So we're going to make a covenant that we're going to discern the Lord. I already told you how you're going to do it. So it's not like you're going, well, let me figure this out. No, I already told you, how does discernment come? We read it in the scripture. The word of God is the discerner. So the word of God is going to be given to you. And what will you do with the word of God that's been given to you? You'll discern your heart with the word of God. So that doesn't just give people free will to go off. Well, I figured out for myself that it's like the one guy I talked to years ago. He said, man, I had all kind of dreams that I had a lot of pride, a lot of pride. Well, the next day came to me, says, I got rid of it all. I'm done with it. I'm done with pride. I have no more pride. I was like, that was fast. I'm like, that pride? You're over pride? So you're telling me now in one day you got rid of all your pride? Yeah, it's gone. Well, good. Trust me, that's not how it works. Okay? That's pride right there. That was the point I was making, Keith. By saying it. What do you need to do? You need to be taught and proven. This is what discernment does. It takes you through a time of testing so that God proves in you. Does God need to discern for you? Now, I guess before you make this covenant, I'm going to say one more thing. I'll help you. When do you know you're perfect? When God discerns your heart. When do you know you're seeking the Lord the right way? When God discerns it for you. When do you know you're obedient? When God discerns it. When do you know that you're fervent after the Lord and not by your own lust? When God discerns it. So what do you need? You need discernment. So when the word of God comes to you, he's putting it in your heart to discern all of these things. Not only do you have to discern evil, what else do you have to discern? You have to discern when you're righteous. You have to discern when you're of the Lord. You have to discern that I have peace and I have joy and I'm righteous before the Lord. If you could say those things and God's discerned it for you, isn't that awesome? So don't look at discernment as negative. Look at discernment as God is going to reveal both good and evil, and he's going to overcome the evil and strengthen you in the good. That is what discernment's going to do. So how many is going to make covenant with me in agreement that I will discern my heart with the word of the Lord? Will you do that with me today? That's the faithfulness of God. Everything clean. It's like being washed. And all the dirt getting washed off out of your thoughts. And God raising up and strengthening you in truth. That's powerful. So you want discernment. You want discernment. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for your word today. It is powerful. Lord, though we may have our own expectations of what truth should be, I pray now, Lord, that you make manifest and make known the desires of all of our hearts and our will, that you discern the intent and the thoughts. You divide soul and spirit. And you raise up a new man in us that you've called us to be and created in us. And I call it forth, and I thank you for your word. In Jesus' name, amen.